to today's episode of Rainer on Leadership, your online home for leadership lessons and advice for both local church and the workplace. I'm your host, Jonathan Howe, and as always, I'm joined by Tom Rainer, the president and CEO of Lifeway Christian Resources.
Sometimes I'm asked, Jonathan, how I find topics for this podcast or how I find topics for my blog. Do you ever ask that, Jonathan?
Sometimes I do.
Sometimes you do.
And sometimes I suggest topics.
Yes, and I've used at least one out of 10 of those in the past. In the podcast, this is really the result of both the podcast and the blog post. It's a result of our readers and our listeners both asking, can you tell us how to find a job in ministry? I didn't expect to be able to write about this or to speak about this, but since now the demand is so much, we are doing so, and I really hope this podcast will be of great interest and great help to our listeners.
Now, how did you find your first job in ministry? I know we've talked about the church at First Merle, but
it's a church in southern Indiana, and basically, I was a student at seminary, and I had to go to the placement office, I believe we called it, and I said, "Are there any churches available?" He said, "Well, for you, maybe this one."
They knew you well.
They knew me well, and it was a church that nobody else had applied for.
Oh, okay.
And so
that's a good percentage of success there.
Well, I called up the search committee, as you know, his name was
Merle.
His name was Merle, and that began the process where the search committee interviewed me. Then I met with the deacon body, and his name was Merle. And one thing led to another, and as I said here on the podcast, I preached 7 trial sermons in view of a call, and then on the 7th time, I was voted in by a vote of
6-1.
6-1. You've heard that story many, many times.
Yep. And then you turned on Jesus.
And that is absolutely another story. You're going to confuse the listeners.
That's a good one, though.
That is a good one.
All right. So today we're talking about 10 keys to finding a job in ministry. And like you mentioned, and I think we'll talk about that later, there are agencies and groups out there who, especially at seminaries, who can help ministers and prospective ministers find jobs.
Seminaries, denominational entities, independent firms, they're all over the place, and there are a lot of good ones out there. But yeah, we'll talk about that more.
All right, number one that you mentioned, and I think this is a great place to start, obviously, with finding any job, both secular and in ministry, is make it a matter of prayer.
Yeah, both secular and in vocational ministry. You don't begin looking for something in any place if you're a true believer in Christ without praying about it first. And I've heard countless stories about how God surprised people with this opportunity, how it came about. And so we've got to say at the onset, don't approach this just like anything else you might do. While everything should be a matter of prayer, make this a really powerful matter of prayer. Make it something that you'll spend time on and get others to pray for you as you begin maybe to look for your first place of ministry or second, third, or fourth, multiple places down the road. Make it a matter of prayer. Make certain that God is in it before you even go to these other steps.
The second one is one that I think we mentioned whenever we talked about the grass being greener on that podcast episode way back, probably about a year ago. But don't let the next position distract you from the present position.
You have a good memory. Some of these things I do not remember, but I remember about that green grass syndrome where you can be at one place, but then you're looking at another place, and therefore you're not nearly as effective where you are. It's in essence, you have your eyes and your heart in another location, and so you cannot have your eyes and your heart in your present location. God has put you in a place of ministry where you are right now. And it may not be something that is enjoyable. It may not be something that you want to stay at long term. But be the type of minister that God would want you to be. And if you're a pastor or serving in a church, serve those people faithfully until that next opportunity comes along. Don't just give up and let go of the ministry that is there.
Yeah, because I know probably countless story after countless story of pastors and ministers who were in the process of looking for something else and basically let everything go at the current church. And, you know, people even came to them, you know, what's going on? Why are you just kind of zoned out and, you know, not even paying attention to what's going on anymore? And it eventually comes out and it really looks bad on the minister.
Yeah, the phrase that is often used, not only in ministry but in other places, is that he is checked out.
Mm-hmm.
He is no longer at this place and he is just checked out.
Number three is to do well where you are, kind of going back to that.
Yeah, it's the same issue. Finish well, do well, make certain that you are giving it God's best wherever you are. Continue to minister to people while you're, you may be looking for another position. Make certain that you are fulfilling the ministry. I mean, that's one of the mandates of Scripture that we have been given, to fulfill the ministry of where we are. So do well where you are. Just continue to press on. Continue to love on the people and continue continue to lead as best you can in your current position.
And this goes back to what you were talking about at the top of the show with, you know, God surprising people, and I wasn't looking, but something came and just kind of fell in my lap. That usually happens to the people who are doing well where they are.
That's right. It's usually those who are doing well who are noticed that they're doing well. Mm-hmm. And yeah, God honors and blesses that, but other people notice it as well.
Yeah. Number four, and speaking of other people, stay connected with others.
You know, we did, sometimes I get in trouble with my social media polls that I do, my Twitter polls, and that, because they're not scientifically
Not scientific.
But, you know, they're still a lot of fun. And did one not too long ago about how you find your current position. Mm-hmm. Asked that question repeatedly. We heard this, that it was relational, that you knew somebody who may have recommended you, that you had a friendship of some members in the church. Mm-hmm. The list would go on and on. I don't think I've ever told you this story. So I see you're drinking. Is that Red Bull?
No, sir.
Okay.
Starbucks refresher. You've
got your caffeine, so you can just enjoy the story for just a moment. Right before I went to my church in Birmingham, mm-hmm. They had gone down a list of people to call. I was actually recommended there by Timothy George, the dean at Beeson Divinity School. So I had that good connection. But then
quite a connection, by the way.
That was a good connection. And he was preaching in the interim there.
Oh, good.
I don't know if he was the interim, but he was preaching there. And then they started focusing on my last name. And they said, "We've got some people in the church named Rainer, my brother." Oh. His wife and their children. And I had not told my brother that I was looking at that church. Had forgotten that it was his church.
Oh, wow.
And so they went to my brother, Sam. My father's name, Sam. My son's name, Sam. So it gets confusing.
Yeah,
but they went to my brother named Sam, and they said, "Are you kin to Tom Rainer?" And my brother says, "Why do you want to know?"
It depends on who's asking.
Yeah. Maybe I am, maybe I'm not. So that made the connection. But this all began, I know you had not heard that story, but this all began with Timothy George. They came to Timothy George and said, this sounds self-serving, who is your number one recommendation to be pastor of this church?
He said, "Well, if not that guy, then Tom Rainer.
Let me recommend these three, and then here's Tom Rainer if none of those want to come here." Well, but it was relational. But stay connected with others. Stay connected with other pastors. Stay connected with people throughout your denomination, your non-denomination, your network, whatever it may be, not just to be self-serving. It's a good thing to do. It's a good thing to do for multiple reasons, and when there comes a time that you sense it is time to move on, then you will have those relational connections.
Well, I'm thinking of the last two jobs my wife got. The one in Birmingham, her sister was on the finance committee at the church. So
A reminder, your wife is a children's minister.
Yes, so she got the job. They were needing somebody to come full-time, first full-time children's minister they'd had,
mm-hmm.
and my wife's sister was a member of the church and still is. She's been there. The church has been in existence for 10 years. They've been there since day one. And recommended my wife, and one thing to lead to another, and the next thing we know, we're moving to Birmingham. We get up here to Mount Juliet, and wife just had the baby, starting to look for a job again. And,
right.
That was baby number three that she had had. And
I lose count,
yeah,
Jonathan.
We're on four now. But so she went to a MOPS meeting, and who's at the MOPS meeting but the pastor's wife, the music minister's wife, and the media guy's wife meets them, and, you know, asking, you know, get to know you questions, and she tells him that she's looking for a children's minister. Well, what do you know? Our church is looking for a children's minister.
Wow.
So she's sitting there with a pastor's wife, the music minister's wife, and the media guy's wife. One thing led to another.
That is the power group.
Boom, we're in there. So MOPS. How about that?
Well, just earlier today, I had a telephone appointment, or someone had a telephone appointment with me, former student, doing a great job in a current church, sensing God's ready to move him on. So what does he do? He calls me. Mm-hmm. He says, I want to use you as a reference. If you have any recommendations, I recommended him to a church. Found out that a friend of mine is the interim pastor of that church.
Well, there you
go. So I turn around and make a call to that interim pastor. I said, if you have any influence about recommendations, I want to tell you some good things about this guy.
Yeah.
So there are multiple connections there, and it just happened today.
Yeah, and you know, we probably go on and on. I got one more. And
tell me.
It involves you.
Oh.
Was Brad Wagner.
Brad Wagner?
Bringing him from Far Hills to Southern Seminary.
Oh, yeah. I was interim pastor at Far Hills in Dayton, Ohio. Got to know Brad, who is executive pastor. And then I recommended Brad to become dean at Southern Seminary, where I was dean. And then now I brought him to Lifeway to be the executive vice president.
Yeah. So
all relational.
A lot of relational connections. And, you know, a lot of people always, want to caution whenever you hire friends, because you sometimes have to fire friends, which is always difficult. But at the same time, relational, you know people, and it helps to know people when you hire people.
That's right. That's right.
Number five, remember the big three: your sermon podcast, the church website, and social media.
These are the three great omissions.
Yeah. Is that well? These are also the three things that reflect the most about the pastor.
They are, and pastors tend to forget about these. It's like, I'm going to do my relationship network connections. I'm going to put my resume in. Yeah. I may get with some type of placement agency or independent company. But these are the three places where people go. One, sermon podcast.
Yep.
They're not going to come to your church and hear you anymore. Right?
Especially
now,
if it's a long ways away.
And especially initially.
Yeah.
Why make the trip?
No.
I'm going to listen to 10 of the sermons right now, and mm-hmm. then I'm going to make the trip. Hey, when you are preaching not only for that day, you're preaching from here on for anybody who might listen to that podcast. Second one, church website. How many times have we talked about the website?
A lot.
A lot around here.
Because it's important.
Because it's very important, Jonathan. It's very important. I need to tell you something about developing church websites at some point. By the way, let's come back to that in just a minute. But church websites are the first place most guests go to visit a church.
Yeah.
They go to that website, they look at the website, and guess what? The website is a reflection of the pastor.
Yes.
And if it's a lousy website, they're going to say, this doesn't look like a good opportunity. So that's number two. And by the way, let's mention this. You've got a video course coming up.
I do.
Tell us a little bit about it. I know this is impromptu, but it's
no pressure.
No pressure, but I'm kind of excited about it.
It'll be brought to you by this week's sponsor. We'll talk about them later, revitalizedchurches.com. You can find out more about it there. There'll probably be something up by the time this goes out. But we're going to do a 2 or 3 module. We're not sure on the length yet if it'll be 2 modules or 3, but it'll be about an hour worth of video training on church websites, best practices, and I'm working on a video too. It'd be a webcast, a screencast kind of thing of setting up a church website start to finish in 30 minutes.
That is going to be cool. Are you going to do it in 30 minutes? And so to show them that
the video will be 30 minutes.
So there will be some editing in there.
To kind of, clean up the breaks and stuff like that. But I'll have all the content ready and everything ready to go. We'll build a church website in 30 minutes.
Boy, I hope a lot of people get that resource simply because it's going to be so valuable. So we said podcast is one, church website is two, social media.
Yep.
Some people are killing themselves on social media.
Mm-hmm. Not just killing themselves, but killing the cause of Christ on social media.
Well, whatever. People will go to Twitter, they'll go to Facebook, they'll go to blog posts, the list goes on and on. And I got a tweet, I think it was a direct message, from a person who was chairman of the search committee where son Sam once pastored.
Oh, okay.
I'm not going to say which of those churches because I don't have permission, so it would be one of those churches where Sam was pastor, obviously. And in that direct message, he said, "Thanks for talking about social media. Before we looked at your son, we looked at another candidate, and we went to his blog and to his Twitter, to his tweets, and it didn't take us any time to say, no way. Mm-hmm. This guy is divisive. He's saying a lot of things that are not doing good for the cause of Christ." And so, boom, they never looked at him. Big three: sermon podcast, church website, social media. These three can... again, it's all a God thing, but these three can make or break in the human sense of the word.
Well, and I'd also flip that around, that if you're looking for a job at a church and being considered by a church,
yes,
to check out the church's sermon podcast, the church
website and
their
the
social media. Because that'll tell you a lot about what you're getting whenever you come into that
environment.
Absolutely
brilliant. Thank you. Yeah. I mean, that's great insights. Sometimes you absolutely amaze me.
Yes, sometimes. Number six, do your homework on other opportunities.
How do you do your homework on other opportunities? Well, if you're in a denomination, sometimes that denomination has a site where you can see where there are job openings mm-hmm. at a state level or national level or a district level, depending upon your judicatory authority or your denominational authority. You can go to sites of placement organizations. I know that Vanderblum and Search Group has been a sponsor from time to time, and that's but one example of those type of organizations where you can find out openings. There are plenty of places to look. There are plenty of places where people know to look, but keep on looking for those opportunities.
And one thing I would caution is don't apply for every job under the sun. Make sure it aligns with your values and your your beliefs as well. One of the stories that is probably my favorite story, and we talked about this on the podcast with Eric whenever he was on here, in Simple Church, when Eric set up the fake church job.
Yeah.
And people applied for it, and it was the most insane thing that you'd ever heard.
It was a charismatic Calvinist tongue-speaking, interpreting, dispensationalist.
He just threw everything into the pot.
Yes.
And it was just, and had people, dozens and dozens and dozens, that sent in resumes for that. And
that thought they were ideal for the job.
Yeah, this is great. I mean, and it was the belief structure that he put on there was completely opposite that you'd have to believe one thing and another. There was no, you would have no belief system at all to be able to apply for that job. And he had dozens and dozens.
Yeah, and just a caveat for those who are listening to this podcast, when Eric Geiger did that, he was not an employee of Lifeway. It would never.
He was a student.
Yeah, he was.
At Southern Seminary.
Well, whatever. And he would never do that in his current vocation.
But it's one of the best stories in that book. So
it is.
And I highly recommend Simple Church, if nothing else, just for that story.
It's there you go.
Number 7, ask someone else to recommend you, but don't overdo it.
Yeah. As you can imagine, in my position, I get a lot of people who want me to recommend them to be a reference.
Yes.
Got a call, it was an email, 3 or 4 days ago, whenever, doesn't matter. And the person said, would you recommend me to this church? And I had to say no this time. Mm. And I said, I've already got 4 or 5 recommendations of you out there. It's not looking good.
It's not me.
It's not looking good for me to be recommending you to multiple churches, nor for you to be in that many churches at mm-hmm. one time. And so don't overdo it. It goes back to making certain that you're a fit. Don't apply everywhere.
Yeah.
And so don't get so many recommendations that, quite frankly, you look desperate mm-hmm. because the world is connected and there's a way that people do find out.
Number 8 is to be highly responsive when someone contacts you.
Well, that works both ways.
Yeah.
When a search committee is looking, sometimes they're not responsive to the people who contact them.
Churches move awful slow.
They do move awful slowly, Jonathan, they do. But when an individual is contacted, that person needs to respond quickly, promptly, courteously, with all the information they ask for. Either say, I'm not able to get that information right now, or just say, I'm not interested, one way or the other. I can tell you as a fact, having worked with search committees and other groups that are looking for staff members and church staff members and pastors, if the person is slow in responding, they usually just move on before they ever get the mm-hmm. response.
Yeah. Number 9, get coaching on your resume.
Oh, boy. Some of the resumes
yes.
that are out there, grammatical yes. errors, typographical errors, stylistic errors, some of the photos.
Photos. That's what I was going to go for. It's the photos. I was talking to somebody yesterday who's going through a search right now. They're not in the search, they're going through the list of resumes. Had one come in, basically said the guy was holding a pitchfork in his picture with his resume, almost like American Gothic, you know, the painting.
Oh,
just standing there with a pitchfork. It's like, are you going to hire that guy for a professional job?
Oh my gosh! And when you think of who, in allegorical sense, has a pitchfork,
yeah,
oh,
and you're applying for something in a Christian in a entity.
Wow, yeah. I've never seen the pitchfork. I've seen some weird photos, but I've never. Yeah. I saw. We've all got stories, but I saw a pastor's resume, and he's holding his dog in the resume.
All right,
it's a cute puppy. It really was a cute puppy, though.
I got nothing for that.
No, I know. No. I know.
Wow.
Enough okay. said.
Number 10, leave well.
Yeah. Too many people, when they leave a church, pastor or other church staff, they leave with a blazing path. In other words, they've scorched over. They've gotten mad at people. In their announcement of their resignation, they have decided to get even with some people. The list goes on and on, Jonathan, of how you can end poorly. And it does you absolutely no good. The thing that you should do when you're leaving an organization like a church is you should be positive. You should not put the church down. You should focus on the blessings that have been there, because there's no such thing as a totally bad church, I don't think. And there would probably be some blessings there, and thank the people for that and just leave in a healthy fashion. If you don't, it will come back in a way that will just bite you somehow. Leave positively and then just make certain you go to your next place with a good sense that you have built a bridge to your former place.
One final question for you on this, and that involves who you tell when you tell that you're looking for jobs. If you're a pastor, do you tell anyone? If you're a staff member, do you go to the pastor and tell them? Or do you wait until the offer's been made and it's done? What's your kind of
As a general rule, when you become the final candidate and you know that it's all but a formality, then I would say I'm talking. If you have a relationship with someone, let's say Brad Wagner, mm-hmm. with whom I have a long-term relationship, professionally decides that he's going to leave Lifeway. I think what he would do even before he talked to someone, or at least the first time, he would say, I've talked to someone because I have that relationship. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, if you're the final candidate, then I would go to the, if you're a staff person, go to the pastor. If you're the pastor, go to whatever the lead body would be, an elder, deacon, whatever group, and say, look, I'm being considered in view of a call, whatever the proper language is. However, caution there.
Mm-hmm.
There are some churches and some pastors that you say you're looking, you're fired.
Yeah.
So you have to know that context as well. So the answer is contextual, but I did give you a general rule.
Yeah. And that's what I was going to ask. The follow-up question is I know that's a problem in some churches where that's just seen as being a traitor or like a treasonous offense.
Yeah, yeah. And so it just doesn't help anything to say at that time. But most of the time, at least give them a heads up before a final decision is made.
This week's podcast has been brought to you by RevitalizedChurches.com, bringing together videos, books, and other resources from today's top pastors, leaders, and authors. RevitalizedChurches.com is the premier online destination for church revitalization and online consultations. Visit RevitalizedChurches.com today for your free download of 114 Things You Need to Know About Revitalization by Tom Rainer. That'll do it for this week's episode of Rainer on Leadership. Any final closing thoughts, Dr.
This has been a fun one, Jonathan. Fun in the sense that
they all are.
Thank you very much. In the sense that I think that there's a lot of useful information here. Once again, thank you to the readers of the blog and the listeners of the podcast because they provide so much of this information.
That'll do it for this week's episode of Rainer on Leadership. Be sure to subscribe on iTunes and visit us online at tomrainer.com.